The power of words playing on words is one of the most ancient form of humor and is considered more intellectual than, say, stupidity jokes or toilet humor. I'm by no means disparaging toilet humor. Often it works better than intellectual ones depending on which type of women you're interacting with. Not surprisingly, playing on words bear different degrees of funniness to women from different cultures. There are culturally and personally acceptable and unacceptable ideas. Two totally incompatible things may be laid side by side without a problem in one culture but not in another one. The same goes for an individual. This technique is about discovering new meanings of words and sayings which we normally refer to as click. You must train yourself to be more observant in order to find click everywhere. There are so many wonderful things happening around us. Yes, they are great materials for your humor resources. Just listen to how people speak. How many times do you hear click every day, especially in movies? Click in movies. There's an abundance of click in movies, not only the lines spoken but also the repetitive themes and scenarios. That's why we sometimes say, that movie was so boring that I could tell the end after the first 15 minutes. That's good news for you, actually. Next time when you're on a date and go watch a movie, you'll have plenty of materials to joke about. Here is a sample of click of heroes, including the one you'll see next time in movies if the hero has a psychological or physical problem which has prevented him from effectively dealing with problems. You can rest assured that this problem will disappear at an opportune time. The hero always misses the villain leaving the scene by seconds. Stripping to the waist makes the hero invulnerable. The hero will always be paired off with a female character. The sidekick never will. The hero's best friend partner will usually be killed by the bad guys 3 days before retirement. The hero's new wife will be mowed down by 80 machine guns right after the wedding or during the honeymoon. Heroes can go without food or sleep or toilet breaks, with no measurable drop in physical or mental faculties, for at least 72 hours. The hero will always have a small trickle of blood in the right corner of his mouth after a fight. His lip will never be split in the middle, and his upper lip will always be invulnerable. He will wipe the blood from the corner of his mouth with the back of his hand, and then look at it. If his face displays any other injury, it will usually be a small abrasion on his right cheekbone. He will wear a band-aid on this for 1 day, after which it will be miraculously healed. The hero will always refuse the assistance of friends or medical personnel after a fight. If the hero gets into a second fight, his most injured body part will always be punched or kicked. A hero will show no pain even during the most terrific beating, yet he will wince if a woman attempts to clean a facial wound. When a hero is paired with a weak sidekick, that sidekick will invariably save the hero's life at a crucial moment, or show remarkable proficiency with weapons in a key scene. If the hero is a white male and has an assistant sidekick who is either not white or not male, the assistant sidekick will die, preferably in an act of heroic sacrifice. If the movie hero has a sidekick and he mentions his family in the first 2 minutes of the film, the sidekick will surely be killed. The movie hero is almost always divorced, but he still has some contact with his ex-wife who tells him that she could not stay married to him because she loves him too much. In real life, we often hear always look on the bright side of life to be or not to be live and learn live and let live, say la vie. What goes around comes around, don't worry, be happy. Laughter is the best medicine, carpe diem. I'm caught between a rock and a hard place. We even have click for click. No one owns click click or never knew click sound better in a foreign language. A click just describes the feeling or the pretended feeling, it does not change it. There is truth in every click. Avoid click like the plague. I have included here 3 basic ways of playing on words. Use them at your discretion and choose the type that suits both the situation and her disposition the most. Double entendre. Double entendre is arguably the most flexible way to play with words. It is so easy and can be performed on most of our vocabulary. Pun, something we hear frequently, is the most common form of double entendres. Countless words in the English vocabulary have different meanings. Take the word fit, for example. It can either mean suit in size, color, etc., healthy, or competitive. So if a jeans company claims it's goods to be survival of the fittest, They're saying two things at the same time. Their jeans fit your legs nicely and their quality or other factors are among the best. Another example is the word strange. In English, it can mean either odd or newly acquainted, so you can always claim every night, "I have a strange girl, the same girl, she's just strange." More often than not, those innocent-looking words are a great source of double entendres, such as "it." "It" for some reason can have strong sexual connotation. It is an art to direct a woman's thoughts to sex without actually talking about it. For example, doctors do it with patients. Publishers do it by the book. Bankers do it with interest. Carpet layers do it on their knees. Elevator operators do it going up and down. A similar word is "in." Isn't it great to be in June? Yes, but her sister, Barbara, was even better. But be careful, a large portion of double entendres are moderate at their best. If not using well, you'll appear lame, which is worse than not saying it at all. There are many frequently used vocabularies which can serve as source of ingenious jokes and brilliant lines, like the following. Notice how often people say that and how easy it is to joke about them. "I went to Harvard yesterday, to the bookstore. How long does it take to finish reading law degree? L-A-W-D-A-G-R-E. Finished. That's 3 seconds. Can you put this uncapped bottle upside down without spilling water? Hold it over your head up, at your side, then lower it down. You're done." Pick out words in her speech and joke about it. You may want to keep a straight face to increase the comical effect. A special usage of double entendres is the construction of phrases such as "pretty ugly," "old news," "silent scream," most of which have become clique in nature. The technical term is called oxymoron. There are really some witty sayings we hear every day. For example, "a cute Adonis act naturally clearly confused found missing liquid gas modern history open secret resident alien second best taped live unbiased opinion vaguely aware virtual reality." Some are purely playing with the multiple meanings of a word. "What do you call a deer with no eyes?" "No idea." "Sounds like no idea. Did you hear about the guy who lost his left arm and leg in a car crash? He's all right now." "Where do you get virgin wool from?" "Ugly sheep." Literal meanings. The funny thing about every language is the extension of its vocabulary's literal meanings. We speak according to a set of social rules and apply various meanings of English words based on specific scenarios. You can create funny sentences by using the words differently yet conforming to grammar rules. For example, the word "call" it can mean either telephone or refer to. So next time she says, "Call me a taxi doctor," you can simply call her a taxi. For example, "Okay, you are a taxi doctor." If she says she'll go window shopping with her girlfriends, inquire how many windows she plans to buy. You may have heard of that famous riddle, "Can you say the capital of all 50 states in less than a minute?" Can you say the capital of all 50 states in less than a minute? The answer is 2 seconds. This is similar to the law degree example mentioned in the previous chapter. Another classic example is "not to tell something." The implication of not telling something is that it should be kept as a secret. There are two ways to joke about this one. State you can't tell her someone else that, reveal it. For example, "I was told not to tell you that she made fun of you yesterday, oops." 2. State you can't tell her something, and that something is false. For example, "I'm not allowed to say that my family is very rich." "Why not?" "It's nothing to be ashamed of. Mainly, because we ain't rich." You can substitute all kinds of things here, including the size of your manhood, to get her to think sexually only after you've developed a certain level of intimacy. A handy preposition is "in." So if next time she asks you to join her in a cup of coffee, you can reply, "Sure, if there is enough room." Or if she says, "Yesterday I talked to John in my pajamas," you can ask her, "How did he get into your pajamas?" Girls like to ask, "What kind of husband or boyfriend should I get?" Just tell them, "Don't touch other people's husbands or boyfriends. Go get a single guy." If you are good at public speaking and next time somebody asks you whether you have stage fright, you can reply, "Believe me, it's not the stage that frightens me, it's the whole audience that scares the hell out of me." If you keep looking out, the possibilities are endless. Click. We take so many click for granted every single day. As we nod our heads in agreement to those popular sayings, most of us are unaware of their humor potential. By misinterpreting click or by stating the overlooked truths following many click, you can demonstrate to her you're a creative and thoughtful person. For example, if 1,000 monkeys sat typing at 1,000 typewriters, they'd produce Shakespeare, and the smell would be horrible. The pen is mightier than the sword, and incredibly easier to write with. If you can fool all the people some of the time, that's good enough. If at first you don't succeed, modify your goal. Act silly. The more well-known term is silly nonsense. But again, when a woman says you are silly, it can be either an indication of dislike or an affectionate term meaning you are cute. When I was 6, I was your age. Watch out. Water on road during rain. This camera only works with film inside. Don't use the hairdryer while showering. Please line up alphabetically by height. Here's my suggestion for you. Act silly from time to time while taking on the dominant role most of the time. Women are frequently attracted by the combination of virility and innocence. I don't know exactly why, but here's my speculation. Masculinity fulfills a woman's desire to be dominated, as we talked about earlier, and acting silly satisfies her maternal needs. At the same time, the peculiar combination of the two creates a strong sense of mystery and contradiction, which almost every woman loves. Paired up sayings, this particular category of humor is what I call intellectual humor. You should tell these jokes to reasonably smart women who can appreciate language games. People usually agree such paired up sayings are witty, smart, or wicked. Paired up sayings are frequently featured in Thought of the Day section of many websites. There are many interesting examples of paired up phrases in life other than idioms and rhetoric speeches. For example, in the Cockney dialect of the East End of London, there are plenty of paired-up sayings where substituted words even rhyme with each other. For example, bed is Uncle Ted and beer is pig's ear. Cockney speech of London's working class characterized by the dropping of H and Cockney rhyming slang, among others. Often imitated by bigots to present the working class as simple, uneducated and incomplete. This parroting is called Mockney. True Cockney must be born within the sound of the bow bells of St. Mary Le Bow Church, Cheapside. The above paragraph in Cockney would be Lor Love a Duck. Speech of London's working bottle and glass. Characterized by da dropping of H and Cockney rhyme and slang, among others. Often imitated by bigots to present da working bottle and glass as simple, uneducated and incomplete. This parroting is called Mockney. Irish Stew Cockney must be born within da sound of da bow bells of St. Mary Le Bow Church, Cheapside. Know what I mean? We often hear sayings such as, when the going gets tough, the tough gets going, if you fail to plan, you plan to fail, some people eat to live, and some live to eat. These are all paired up sayings. Perhaps the most famous paired up saying is John F. Kennedy's "Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country." Certain universal paired-up saying can come in handy. For example, I've got what it takes to take what you've got and nobody cares how much you know till they know how much you care. The problem with paired-up sayings is that most of them have already become click. But don't worry. This is a great opportunity to use your imagination and surprise her. For example, when you see her hesitating to do something, you may say, "Relax. You have nothing to fear except fear itself, and your dad, of course." Supposing that's exactly her concern as you were told. A trick of exploring opportunities of paired-up saying is to develop a habit of switching word sequence in popular sayings. Just experiment with them for fun. You'd be surprised that there are countless sayings to play around with. Another way to construct paired-up saying is to explore the close relationship between synonyms and antonyms. For example, women sweat but ladies perspire. Dave Barry had a famous saying, "You can't be young forever, but you can be immature forever." Los Angeles Times once wrote, "The only thing more disturbing than a neighbor with a noisy, old car is a neighbor with a quiet, new car." Make sure the woman you're talking with really appreciates and enjoys such wordplay. If that isn't her cup of tea, don't give it to her. Give coffee instead. If you are interested in this type of humor, here is an exercise for you when you are bored, such as when you're waiting in line. List down in your mind some words in pairs and start constructing sentences with them. Add in synonyms and antonyms to see what happens. It'll sound crappy at first, but you'll get better very quickly. Surprise her. When women are pleasantly surprised, they laugh. Many times we laugh to cover up our embarrassment because we got it wrong. By the way, subconsciously we don't expect ourselves to get it right in the first place, or where is the entertainment value? And that's something you should take advantage of. I've mentioned before an element for laughter called surprise. Here we will discuss it in detail. Every surprise joke you tell a woman is a short story. But don't tell a story for telling's sake. Whatever story or lines you use, your objective has to be setting her up, make her arrive at a false conclusion before revealing the correct answer. It works because her brain cannot accommodate both ideas, her own conclusion and what you reveal to her at the same time. She has to laugh to release the psychological tension. Humor columnist Dave Barry is a master at reverse. Just read his old columns and you'll notice that reverse is his typical way of starting a piece of humor writing, which never failed to grab the reader's attention and set the mood for laughter. Direct her to the wrong ideas very naturally before telling her something totally against her assumptions. The key word here is assumptions. Playing on her assumptions is a simple three-step process. 1. Identify the typical implication of anything you're about to tell her. It's only natural to take things for granted, but if you ask hard enough, you can derive new meanings from almost anything. This step explores opportunities to mislead her. 2. Send her thoughts to the wrong direction using conventional words or phrases. This is called tacit agreement. 3. Reveal the truth. Say something which fits perfectly with what you stated in step 2 but she never expected. Linguistic trick: you can use the loopholes of the language to trick her into thinking in a particular way. For example, tell her, "I have a brother in Harvard Med School." As soon as she hears this, what kind of a mental picture have you created in her mind? Probably a scholarly figure, smart, a bit nerdy, wearing a pair of glasses, and maybe a lab coat. She might then ask, "What is he studying?" It's all natural, based on conventional interpretation of the sentence you've just said to her. However, you merely said "in Harvard," right? The English language has tricked her, because your next sentence would be nothing, "They are studying him." Every word is logical and consistent with available information. And it effectively denied her original perception. Reinforce: often you can tell if someone is about to express an opposite view of what he or she has just said. For example, if your girlfriend suddenly starts to tell you that you're a nice guy, you know something bad is coming up. We frequently imply what we're about to say with certain words and tonality. When you say, "I used to think," it implies you don't think that way anymore, get my point? And that's an assumption you can take advantage of. Tell her something like, "When I was young, I thought that money was the most important thing in life. Now that I'm old, I know it is. When I was younger, I thought that pretty girls like you all have bad manners. Now that I'm old, I know it's true. I believe that sex is a beautiful thing between two people. Between five, it's fantastic." Self-contradict: it is possible to tell a woman two seemingly contradicting things and still make sense. The contradiction is funny because it is also logical. That creates conflict in her mind and she has to laugh. For example, when you two are talking about a common interest, book, movie, album, etc., say something like, "This is a great book, movie, CD that I definitely want to add to my library collection. Someday I may even read, watch, listen to it." Or tell her a funny and surprising story. "Here's one I especially like. I was almost killed by three thugs last night. But Peter saved my life. He came and said, 'Okay boys, that's enough.'" Predict her expectation. In situations where you are able to predict her expectation, surprise her by saying something that is totally against her expectation. For example, when your date has come to an end, ask her if she had had a good time. She'd of course say yes and expect you say something along that line. But instead you can say, "Well, we'll put an end to that," and smile. the trickier is to take advantage of social conventions. Socially acceptable behaviors are always predictable. For example, if you tell a woman, "My girlfriend just ran away with my best friend," what else can she say except, "Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that"? And then it's time to say in a frustrated tone, "God knows how much I miss my friend." Going against convention. Announce your next move. Announce to a woman your next move. And it has to be socially acceptable as well as stated in a playful and exaggerating manner. It creates a funny moment because the woman knows what you want, yet she can't really reject your next move because you're just kidding. And once she laughs, she can't possibly decline you as it'll be inconsistent. For example, you can drive away a woman's reluctance of giving you her number by saying, "Don't worry. I'll only call you 9 times a day. If everything is going on pretty well between you two, you can get closer to her and say, "Don't panic, I'm only going to kiss you, and that's all." Remember what we talked about pickup lines? The simpler such as "Hi," the better. And here's one that has worked for me. Can I try a few pickup lines on you? Give some good ones and some lame ones. "Okay, I have just one more line for you. Can I try a few pickup lines on you?" Switch roles. We all know that women tend to be self-protecting. Your job is to break down her defense and pride as well. One funny way to do so is to take on an even more defensive role and accuse her of what men are normally accused of. For example, you can ask her, "Is it safe to talk to you? You are not a scary person, are you? I'm not sure if I should come with you. Who knows if you might rape me or something." Again, do make sure she's aware that you're just kidding. You never want to be considered as an average jerk. Rejector men tend to get overexcited as soon as women start to show some affection or enthusiasm. When a woman asks you, "Hey, you wanna come to my place to have a drink?" most men would be more than happy to accept the invitation immediately. I'm not saying you shouldn't. But before you do, you can keep a straight face and say, "I'm not sure, can I trust you? Promise you won't harass me." And show her you're joking as soon as you finish the sentence by smiling or making a face at her. Tell her in 3 and only 3 parts. The number 3 seems to have a mythical power of a comical construction. You probably have noticed that many jokes use triples in which the first 2 instances build up tension and the punchline serves as the climax. How many times have you heard the various stories about 3 poor guys among whom the 3rd one suffers the most? Or 3 stupid guys among whom the 3rd is the biggest idiot? For some reason, 3 is the optimal number. 2 is insufficient to establish a pattern, whereas 4 would be repetitive and dilute the mood. Pacing the rule of 3 is by no means restricted to humor. It is frequently employed in speeches, writing, and paintings. Notice the triple here. And we usually raise 3 examples to make a point. It is sometimes referred to as pacing. Here is a classic joke using this rule of 3. 3 men were standing in line to get into heaven one day. Apparently it had been a pretty busy day, though, so St. Peter had to tell the 1st one, "Heaven's getting pretty close to full today, and I've been asked to admit only people who have had particularly horrible deaths. So what's your story?" The 1st man replies, "Well, for a while I've suspected my wife has been cheating on me, so today I came home early to try to catch her red-handed. As I came into my 25th floor apartment, I could tell something was wrong, but all my searching around didn't reveal where this other guy could have been hiding. Finally, I went out to the balcony, and sure enough, there was this man hanging off the railing, 25 floors above ground. By now I was really mad, so I started beating on him and kicking him, but wouldn't you know it, he wouldn't fall off. So finally I went back into my apartment and got a hammer and started hammering on his fingers. Of course, he couldn't stand that for long, so he let go and fell, but even after 25 stories, he fell into the bushes, stunned but okay. I couldn't stand it anymore, so I ran into the kitchen, grabbed the fridge, and threw it over the edge where it landed on him, killing him instantly. But all the stress and anger got to me, and I had a heart attack and died there on the balcony." "That sounds like a pretty bad day to me," said Peter, and let the man in. The 2nd man comes up and Peter explains to him about heaven being full, and again asks for a story. "It's been a very strange day. You see, I live on the 26th floor of my apartment building, and every morning I do my exercises out on my balcony. Well, this morning I must have slipped or something, because I fell over the edge. But I got lucky, and caught the railing of the balcony on the floor below me. I knew I couldn't hang on for very long, when suddenly this man burst out onto the balcony. I thought for sure I was saved, when he started beating on me and kicking me. I held on the best I could until he ran into the apartment and grabbed a hammer and started pounding on my hands. Finally I just let go, but again I got lucky and fell into the bushes below, stunned but all right. Just when I was thinking I was going to be okay, this refrigerator comes falling out of the sky and crushes me instantly, and now I'm here. Once again, Peter had to concede that sounded like a pretty horrible death. The third man came to the front of the line, and St. Peter asked for his story. "Picture this," says the third man, "I'm hiding naked inside a refrigerator, what's my point?" "My point is that if you have something funny to tell her, maybe it's a good idea to arrange it in three parts so as to enhance the humor effect. For example, you know, you're like an angel, you are constantly up in the air, continuously harping on something, and have nothing to wear. If you want to be seen, stand up. If you want to be heard, speak up. If you want to be appreciated, shut up. This rule of three also has some do's and don'ts. 1. Don't make the same joke about the same thing more than 3 times. 2. Don't talk about more than 3 things in a short time. You're a funny guy, not a professional comedian. I can say that for sure, but you know what I mean. 3. 3 minutes is probably a nice time frame for your jokes. The nice thing about triples is that they can be used together with 2 other techniques I've already introduced to you. 1. Surprise her. 2. State the simple and logical truth. For example, you remind me of beautiful face, silky hair, great body, you have none of those. In a typical day, if you feel great for just 1 hour, be totally alert for 1 hour, do smart things for 1 hour, you are still dumb for the rest 23 hours. Illusion of improvisation. So you've delivered a great punchline and won some laughter. But it's not over yet. You have an even better chance since you've already created the momentum for laughter. It's the best time to tell a second joke whose setup is fed by the previous punchline. It'll receive even more laughter. This is sometimes called the topper technique. Better still, you can create a second topper by leading her to yet another joke based on the second punchline. This simple maneuver gives her an illusion of improvisation which will make you appear funny as hell to her. Here's an example question. How many steps does it take to put an elephant into the fridge? This is a setup as most people know the answer. Answer 3 steps, open the fridge, put the elephant in, and close the door. Question: okay, so how many steps to put a giraffe in? Now she'd start to wonder, isn't it the same 3-step process? Answer: open the fridge, take the elephant out, put the giraffe in, and close the door. Question: all the animals went to the annual gathering except one. Which one? Normally, women would have no clue what to guess. Answer: giraffe. It's still in the fridge. Question: how do you cross the river where the crocodiles live without being devoured? There's no bridge over the river. Again, she'd have no idea. Actually, she wouldn't want to know the answer too early, because she expects herself to be entertained. If she arrives at the right answer naturally, where's the entertainment value? This happens on a subconscious level and works in your favor. Answer: just swim across it, since all the animals except giraffe went to the annual gathering. Before you go to any social gathering next time, prepare a few good multifold jokes. You can create some on your own by working on the punchlines using the techniques taught in this book and deliver them in such a way that you not only boost the level of laughter one after another but also show an illusion of improvisation from a quick mind. When she wants to laugh, have you ever noticed that, in many occasions, once you've made a woman like you and created a momentum of laughter, she'll keep on laughing again and again. And the more she does it, the better you feel, and the funnier you become. Similar things frequently happen in groups. When friends are joking around with one another, things that are remotely funny suddenly appear hilarious as hell. people attempted to explain those phenomena with many different theories. Sigmund Freud wrote, "The most favorable condition for comic pleasure is a generally happy disposition in which one is in the mood for laughter, whereas some talk about the release of laughing gas nitrous oxide from the body or interference of brainwaves. Whatever the truth is, if a woman is in the mood for laughter, don't let the chance slip away. Keep the momentum going and escalate the level of intimacy between you through touching, as we talked about earlier. Better still, anchor her to this laughing mood and anchor yourself to this particular woman or scenario if you want to." Anchoring is an application of Pavlov's reflex, a conditioned reflex first explored by Russian scientist Pavlov. The core of his experiment was as follows. Pavlov rang a bell, gave a dog some food, which made the dog to start salivating. After a few times of repeating the process of ringing a bell, offering food and getting the dog to salivate, he eliminated the offering of food from the process. He rang the bell without giving the food. The dog started salivating nonetheless. The explanation was that by always ringing a bell while offering food, a conditioned reflex is created, causing salivation by simply ringing the bell later on. The same conditioned reflex can be created in a woman, namely anchoring. You can anchor her while she's laughing next time by, say, gently touching on her elbow, so that next time you repeat this action she'll feel like laughing. Sounds fun, doesn't it? Make her feel superior. Women are fakes, some people say. And vanity is their best friend. It is a basic need for human beings and women especially to feel superior. It might sound cynical but is in line with my years of careful observation. The fact that so much black humor involves death and physical injuries, comic in nature and never graphically violent, also proves this point. The German has a word Schadenfreude which literally means joy at other people's suffering, and women have a basic need, usually occurring at a subconscious level, to feel superior over others. We can help them with that by ridiculing the intelligence, social status, or physical disadvantages of the characters in our jokes. Here the word superior is looked at from a narrow angle. Women like to feel superior to the characters in your jokes. Laughing at imagined misfortune, deliberate cruelty in jokes is somewhat like watching the little cat suffering in Tom and Jerry. Ever wondered why there are so many ethnic jokes, including a vast amount of blonde jokes? What about those jokes mocking at an array of professions? You can test her acceptance to such type of humor by telling her something like, "When I die, I would like to go peacefully, in my sleep, like my grandfather did. Not screaming and yelling like the passenger in his car." Before you intend to make her laugh by making her feel superior, make sure she doesn't have an issue with ethnicity jokes, profession jokes, comic cruelty, etc., because conscious aversions can be strong enough to prevent laughter and generate negative impressions. Funny exclamations. This is a common trait I discovered among funny guys. They all have their distinct favorite phrases and funny exclamations. Wow, wham, bang bang, yuck, yahoo, blah blah blah, oh that explains it, interesting, right, on, develop some of your own. You can get a few clues from those creative sound effects in most Hollywood action movies, often given out by the funny partner of the hero. See, that's another movie click. Do you do that often? If not, I suggest you test it out. At first you may feel shy or weird saying meaningless words. But remember what we mentioned earlier about taking action? If after testing you decide it's not for you, just stop it and you have nothing to lose. But chances are you'll feel livelier as you give out those simple funny exclamations. For example, okay is a most frequently used word and can be uttered with so many different tones. When a woman attempts to explain to you a complicated concept or find stupid excuses, just simply say in a dragging tone, "Oh, okay," with an upward ending. It'll be funny. Test it out. This is just a small and simple action, but it can be more powerful than you thought. Many women regard such manners as charming and cute. You'll be surprised. What to do with stupid jokes? Let's face it. There are plenty of stupid jokes around. Shall we just leave them alone? Absolutely no. The difference between a skillfully humorous guy and a normal guy is that the former knows how to make use of anything, including places, people, environment, mistakes, accidents, and lines that a woman speaks, and even stupid jokes. For example, here are some pretty stupid pickup lines. Are your parents thieves? Because they stole the stars and put them into your eyes. Are you tired? Because you've been running through my mind all day long. Do you have a quarter? Because my parents told me to call them when I found the girl of my dreams. Now the question is, how can you turn them around and make women laugh? Those pickup lines are, hands down, really lame. But they could be funny if turned into a casual comment in the middle of a conversation. For example, if she starts to talk about anything to do with morality, you can say, I hope you didn't get those ideas from your parents who, I think, are thieves. She'll probably be shocked and ask where you get that idea from. And then you can answer, because they stole the stars and put them into your eyes. It's the same line, with a big difference. If she starts to complain work or other things, you can say, yeah, I can tell you're tired, cause you've been running through my mind all day. If it's the first time you meet her, change it to you'll be even more tired tomorrow cause you'll be running through my mind all day. If she starts talk about money, use the quarter example. You get the idea. Stupid jokes or lines won't be stupid if they fit the conversation. They may even sound cute. You can also enhance the dramatic effect through an exaggerating tonality and show her you're just kidding. I can't emphasize this enough. Pretend that you know this is what many people call bullshit. It's somewhat like the technique of faking stupidity, only that you are using your own way to explain things. For example, carpe diem? Yeah, I know. It's Latin, meaning purple squirrels. She's vegan, which is Latin for freak. The trick here is to bring in a totally unrelated concept or object in order to explain something you don't know. If you do know about it, that's even better in the most ridiculous way. The funny effect is created by the linkage between two conflicting items, usually one serious and the other absurd. Remember I told you about how the human brain cannot accommodate two conflicting ideas and must seek relief through laughter? Keep doing that and you'll probably get a slap on the back or an affectionate stop it. Quoting, this is a technique commonly used by comedians and humor columnists. A quote can either come from a real conversation or an imagined one. Act it out. Act out an imaginary conversation between two characters. It could be a simple yet funny dialogue between a funny guy and a stupid guy. You can also stage a dramatic performance in response to the conversation between you and her previously. For example, you can make fun of men's general fear of approaching a woman. You women are so impolite. She's smiling. Why? You we as men are often willing to show appreciation towards women like you with innocent attempts. But here's what usually happens in a deep masculine voice. Hi, have I seen you somewhere? In a shrill, annoying and feminine voice. Yeah, right. That's why I don't go there anymore. Read mind. You can pretend to be able to read a woman's mind by uttering her thought based on your assumptions, which has been too funny. There are abundant opportunities to continue a woman's previous line in a joking fashion. This is especially helpful if you feel some awkwardness has crept into your conversation. For example, if you just said something wrong and she looks a bit offended, immediately pretend you're her inner voice and half cover your mouth as if telling a secret and say with a comical tone, "Oh my God. I can't believe he said that." Or when the two of you see someone who is rendered speechless in a certain situation, you can tell her something like, "Wanna know what he's thinking right now?" And then act out some funny lines. Do this in a secretive way and get closer to her. Remember what I told you about the impact of physical proximity on the level of intimacy between two people? When you act out conversations, pay extra attention to your facial expressions, tonality and body language. Since it's about acting, you have to do it properly to achieve desired effects. Hilarious quotes. Knowing lots of funny quotes, just like having a mental collection of classic jokes, can often come in handy. Check out the bonus booklet Hilarious Quotes. It's a hand-picked collection of the funniest quotes I've ever come across. For example, women like to talk about age. If you know the following quotes, you can find ways to pick out any of them to make her laugh. When I was born, I was so surprised I didn't talk for a year and a half. As you get older, three things happen. The first is your memory goes, and I can't remember the other two, The secret of staying young is to live honestly, eat slowly, and lie about your age. Everybody wants to live forever, but nobody wants to grow old. One should never trust a woman who tells her real age. If she tells that, she'll tell anything. When you become senile, you won't know it. Like many women my age, I am 28 years old. Common sense is the collection of prejudices acquired by age 18. You don't even have to attribute the saying to the correct person. You can always say something like, as my Uncle Joe used to say, or if my father knew about this he would say. Exaggeration occupies a critical role in all humor techniques and is one of the most effective ways to make women laugh. Overstatement and understatement are the two sides of this coin. Overstatement and overstatement simply talks about things that are impossible or unlikely to happen. For example, my house is so big that you have to spend 3 days walking from the front door to my bedroom. Wanna come to take a look? The scarecrow scared the crows so badly that they brought back the corn they had stolen 2 years before. For most guys, overstatement shouldn't be a tough task. We are dealing with it on a daily basis. It's everywhere. You just have to pay attention. With overstatement, you can claim any of your achievements in the most absurd scenario. For example, if you want to be described as very heterosexual, you can simply say, I am so heterosexual that if you look up the dictionary, you'll find my name in the small print under that word. I used the word heterosexual as an example because it describes a state like the word dead, which doesn't have a comparative. There are no more heterosexual or more dead. This creates a funny effect since the woman you're talking to cannot picture how much more heterosexual you can be than normal. The rule of thumb is to construct an impossible world where animals talk and people do all kinds of bizarre things. You can claim that your dog or book talks or you have $1 billion in the bank. For example, when you were young you have nobody to take blame. One day my father came into the room and asked me who had been smoking his cigarettes, so I had to tell him the truth. It was the dog. What is the easiest thing to exaggerate? Numbers. When you want to say a lot, many, be more specific. Pick an actual number that almost sounds real. You can even add a roughly or about in front just to make it sound more convincing. That's how the comical effects come about. Overstatements work especially well with surprises. Have you ever heard someone say something like, A is a lot more than B, C, and D, combined? The last word is usually where the surprise as well as exaggeration is. So always be on the lookout at the end of your statement for an additional tag that serves as both an exaggeration as well as a surprise. More examples. Vatican is so small that if you compare Europe to a building, it would be the male toilet on the third floor, the second cubicle, under the toilet seat. 500 people immediately signed up, and those are only their wives. Understatement, on the other hand, understatement might acquire a bit more finesse. An understatement works by deliberately reducing the actual impact of truth and thereby creating a funny conflict. For example, the result was released and I got a D. That wasn't exactly what I had hoped to see. He jumped out of the window. As the room was on the sixth floor, you can imagine his surprise. The British comedian Ollie G addressed a group of Harvard students in a graduation speech. For those of you who don't know, UK is a country more than 100 miles from here. Interestingly, the British believe that the underclass overstates and the upper class understates. In other words, after seeing a good movie, a lower class English guy would say, "My God, the movie was fantastic. I totally loved it." Whereas the upper class English guy would say, "The movie wasn't bad, no, not bad at all." And you can make understatements in reply to women's question to produce some comical effects. For example, next time when a woman says to you, "Hey, your hairstyle shirt report is not bad," instead of saying, "Thank you," you could say, "Well, it wasn't meant to be." You can also use understatements to make fun of her or flirt with her in a reserved way. "If I could only see one miracle, just one miracle, like a burning bush, or the seas part, or your invitation to dinner." Be illogical. A woman sometimes laughs also because she suddenly doesn't know how to respond to you. This frequently happens when she becomes fully aware that you're being deliberately unreasonable, but she just can't pinpoint the logical fallacy in your argument. There are a few major categories of logical fallacies which you can, with a little bit of practice, master. Once you are able to do so, you can quickly spot the errors in her speech and joke about it. Don't go overboard though. Logical fallacy. A logical fallacy refers to a flaw in the structure of a deductive argument which renders the argument invalid, but it's often used more generally to describe an argument which is invalid for any reason other than structural flaws, such as an error in the premises. Notice, a logical fallacy in a deductive argument does not affect the argument's premises or its conclusion. In other words, facts don't necessarily lead to one another. Conversely, logic doesn't imply fact. For example, Mike wants to date the hottest girl at the party. The hottest girl at the party is Emma. Therefore, John wants to date Emma. In reality, John may have a conflicting goal of avoiding Emma, meaning that the reasoned answer may be inapplicable to real life. Recognizing fallacies in everyday arguments may be difficult since arguments are often embedded in rhetorical patterns that obscure the logical connections between statements. Informal fallacies may also exploit the emotions or intellectual or psychological weaknesses of the audience. Having the capability to recognize fallacies in arguments will significantly increase your flexibility when dealing with women. Make sure that when you are pointing out her logical fallacies, you are saying them in a joking, friendly, and unobtrusive manner. Don't be unreasonable by saying something like this: "Though it's a funny logical fallacy itself, some of my women friends say I'm a sexist, and I always say that's absolutely not true and that's not something they should ever worry their little heads about." And make sure she didn't take you seriously and think you are a senseless moron. Use saver lines if she doesn't get it. The most frequent line is "that's a joke, and a bad one, obviously." There are countless ways of being illogical. For example, you may choose to say something that is clearly contradicting itself. For example, "In order to be a good guy, I had to be honest. And by the time I could fake it, I knew I was a good guy." You can fake stupidity by joking about how long you want to live. "I want to live for at least 100 years, because you seldom read obituaries about people who are over 100 years old. You can make use of circular reasoning when you are explaining superstitious stuff to women. "Somehow most of them are crazy about supernatural things. The Pope says horoscopes are just supernatural mumbo jumbo. He's bound to be skeptical, he's a Taurus." Misinterpret information. It's similar to faking stupidity. She laughs after realizing that she was totally misunderstood and her meaning is twisted into some foolish statement. For example, if things are really going well between you two and she asks, "Do you want to go into my bedroom?" Instead of getting all excited, you can tell her as if you don't get it, "No. I prefer to stay here with you." When the two of you decide to go out and she says, "I can pick a date," you can reply, "Who do you want to bring as a date?" Don't restrict your misinterpretation to words she says. You can virtually twist any piece of information. Just make sure you don't sound truly stupid. For example, nowadays you see numbers printed on t-shirts. If next time she wears one with a pretty big number like 162, point at it and ask her, "How did they know you're 162 pounds? Get sexual talk about it. When sex is combined with humor, it is rarely offensive. So don't be afraid to talk about it. In fact, you should talk about it. That's where you want to end up, isn't it? But if you all of a sudden switch to sex-related topic, it'll be too abrupt." A common mistake many men make is being too cautious as they start talking to women. They stay far away from sexual topic but later on get impatient with all the nice talk. And then they rush into it. No wonder things don't work out. Instead, you should gradually increase the sexual tension between the two of you, so that the entire process of sexual escalation feels perfectly natural to her. So how do you broach the subject of sex? Just joke about it. For example, you can tell her straight away how you feel about sex. "I think sex is still absolutely sensational to me, especially in the winter." Moderately shock her while at the same time testing her limits at sexual jokes. You can get a good clue from her body language. Interestingly, women become very incapable of controlling body language when it comes to sex. Pay attention to the muscle tension of her chin and whether her limbs are stiff. If her reaction is negative, halt it immediately, because neither humor nor sex can be forced. Certain self-deprecating sexual jokes can be helpful and less offensive. For example, this one utilizes the rule of three and the power of words. My ex-girlfriend walked into my room the other night and told me to take off her blouse. Then she told me to take off her skirt. Then she told me never to wear her clothes again. Transposition. A common technique is called transposition. It means using a buffer word to substitute certain improper terms to reduce the possibility of offending a woman. There are as many euphemisms for hardcore terms as there are for a penis. For example, Robert Wool once said, "I call mine by its God-given name, Vesuvius." Sexual words. There are also certain words with strong sexual connotation, such as blow, suck, coming, swallow, screw, finger, feel. Those words provide you with a great many opportunities to use sexual innuendos. Of course, you have to make sure the timing is right and the words do fit in the conversation, otherwise it'll feel awkward and work against you. Hardcore flirt. When you two progress further and her mind is already turned into a highly sexual mode, start flirting with her more explicitly. For example, "You have I shown you my magic watch?" She know, "What does it do?" You it tells me you are not wearing any underwear. She well, "It must be broken because I am wearing underwear." You HMM, "It must be in our fast." But always remember, get sexual, not obscene. You might even want to look out for opportunities to accuse her of having a dirty mind. Believe me, the effect can be absolutely comical. Trick her. It is our nature to laugh to cover our embarrassment. It's purely psychological. If you can trick her into saying or doing something she is not supposed to, either stupid or inappropriate, mostly likely she'll laugh. But avoid doing so at the early stage of contact, because we also have a natural self-protecting mechanism to shun away from those who have tricked us. And it's purely psychological too. Only start to trick her when there's already some good rapport between you two. If you trick her in a fun and friendly way, her embarrassment will not only make her laugh but also draw her closer to you. Make fun of her. Women laugh in embarrassment when they flounder in public or if their innocent mistakes have been exposed. In such situations, women release their tension through laughter. You have to spot the correct type of women, usually with high self-esteem and those who are already pretty comfortable with you to make fun of. As a general rule, it's more practical to make fun of beautiful and often overbearing women than homely, often with low self-esteem women. You can either induce tension for her to release through laughter later or help her laugh away her already existing anxieties. For example, if you see her eating a sinful chocolate ice cream, you can either make her uneasy by saying, "Oh, this is great food since it adds more substances to you," or you can put her more at ease by saying, "Don't worry, I eat it all the time and I'm only 162 pounds. Two universal topics to make fun of her on are technology and physical appearance. For some reason, most women tend to be less technology savvy and are contented with falling behind technology trends, as if being smarter at technology is less feminine. And no matter how pretty a woman is, she is always concerned with more than one aspect of her look. Sometimes, the goal of making fun of her is to really flatter her in some way, because men fall in love with their eyes and women fall in love with their ears. Funny imitation. Imitate people. People who can imitate very well are generally humorous. In fact, there is a whole class of comedians who specialize in imitation. Good imitation produces hilarious effects. Unfortunately, funny imitations serve as a means to ridicule others most of the time. Remember the last time you laughed at your friend's funny imitation of your weird teacher or president? But the truth is, ill-willed imitation may trigger some laughter. Positive imitation always wins laughter as well as appreciation. Let me repeat this again: the fact that a woman laughs at your sarcasm doesn't necessarily mean she likes it. It backfires most of the time. As a result, the number one rule of imitation is that your imitation should never be offensive. Avoid attacking someone else with exaggerated imitation. That doesn't mean you can't be ironic. It only means that your joke should suit her tastes and you two should share common opinions on certain issues. For example, if she doesn't favor George Bush, it'd be okay for you to imitate and even exaggerate Bush's accent and speech, vice versa. So make sure you obtain her opinions on controversial figures before you attempt to imitate them. Fake accents. About two-thirds of all people are able to recognize a slight foreign accent, and half of them can imitate popular accent without practice. Believe it or not, imitation of a particular accent would not only make her laugh but also add charm to you. There are basically two things about an accent: pronunciation and intonation. Pronunciation is determined mainly by the vowels a, e, I, o, u in English. If you can imitate the way a foreigner pronounced the five vowels in English, you are halfway there. For example, a French would typically pronounce a as a long a, as in hard without the rhotic r, so have sounds like hav. The rest half is their intonation. Strange enough, foreigners from the same country tend to conform to the same tones upon making a statement, asking a question, expressing surprise, etc. For example, the Italians speak in a typical downward tonality, as in Mamma Mia. Finally, you must know how to pronounce words with the foreigner's favorite part of the mouth. For example, the French typically pronounce through their noses, so push the sounds into your nose when you imitate the French accent and, if you want to, exaggerate it. Just practice along with some foreign videos and you'll soon get the hang of it. Part 4. Perfection. Useful applications of humor. The possibilities are endless. Humor can accomplish so many wonderful things beyond getting you laid. Here are just two examples. Elude her questions. Very often you need to use joking as a means to avoid answering her questions. If she asks whether you are single, you can say no. I'm dating a girl now, staring at her, apparently she's not aware of it. And quarrels. You can use humor to ease the tension if you get into quarrels with women. But make sure you don't sound sarcastic. There are various techniques to use, mostly based on logic and rhetoric. Modeling. One of the most effective ways of learning to be funny is simply do what experts do. Model other funny guys. Start off by copying exactly what they do. They're good at making women laugh for a reason. And that reason itself is worth close observation. Pay attention to what they say, how they act, and how they use their tonality, body language, gestures, facial expressions, etc. There might be many things you don't agree with or don't understand, but you should only judge their approach after you've managed to copy exactly their style. Only then can you say, I've done the same. But it's not producing the same results. It might not work for me. When you're with some other funny guys, imagine yourself stepping into his shoes and act together with him. You may find it strange, silly, or discouraging, especially if that guy is really good at first, but you'll find yourself improving at a much faster rate than if you only take on an observer's role. The best way to memorize funny materials. If you want to be superbly funny, you can solely rely on humor resources you've developed yourself. Let's face it, there will be a number of topics outside your daily exposure. But the fact that you don't play golf doesn't mean you can't joke about the sport, and that you haven't been to UK doesn't mean you can't kid about the English people. You need to leverage on the best jokes already told by others while stay original. You need to have a good way of storing funny materials in your catalog and be able to recall them at the right time so that your humor is both funny and relevant. You should keep learning new humor materials so that over time you become funnier and you have more and more to joke about. One day you'll reach a stage where humor becomes automatic. So what's the best way to memorize funny materials? The answer is mind map. Mind maps were traditionally used for learning, brainstorming, memory, visual thinking, and problem solving by various professions. Some of the earliest examples of mind maps were developed by the British popular psychology author, Tony Buzan, claimed to be the inventor of mind map, based on the general semantics of science fiction novels, such as those of A.E. Van Vogt and L. Ron Hubbard. He also used popular assumptions about the cerebral hemispheres in order to promote the exclusive use of mind mapping over other forms of note making. He then used it as a way of helping students make notes that used only keywords and images. These are the foundation structures of a mind map, although these are open to free interpretation by each individual. Start in the center with an image of the topic, using at least three colors. Use images, symbols, codes and dimensions throughout your mind map. Select keywords and print using upper or lowercase letters. Each word image must be alone and sitting on its own line. The lines must be connected, starting from the central image. The central lines are thicker, organic and flowing, becoming thinner as they radiate out from the center. Make the lines the same length as the word image. Use colors and your own code throughout the mind map. Develop your own personal style of mind mapping. Use emphasis and show associations in your mind map. Keep the mind map clear by using radiant hierarchy, numerical order or outlines to embrace your branches. The Mind Map Book by Tony Buzan. Let me show you an example on how to efficiently memorize jokes or anything else for quick and easy retrieval later on. Do keep in mind that there are countless ways of identifying keywords and drawing a mind map. What I'm about to show you is just one possible way. Joke 1: A couple of women were playing golf one sunny Saturday morning. The first of the twosome teed off and watched in horror as her ball headed directly toward a foursome of men playing the next hole. Indeed, the ball hit one of the men, and he immediately clasped his hands together at his crotch, fell to the ground and proceeded to roll around in evident agony. The woman rushed down to the man and immediately began to apologize. She explained that she was a physical therapist. "Please allow me to help. I'm a physical therapist and I know I could relieve your pain if you'd just allow me," she told him earnestly. "I'll be all right. I'll be fine in a few minutes," he replied breathlessly as he remained in the fetal position, still clasping his hands together at his crotch. But she persisted, and he finally allowed her to help him. She gently took his hands away and laid them to the side, she loosened his pants, and she put her hands inside. After a short massage she asked him, "How does that feel?" To which he replied, "It feels great, but my thumb still hurts like hell." After learning this joke, you can draw something like this. If you find the above too sketchy, use this. Joke 2: There was this guy who went golfing every Saturday and Sunday. It didn't matter what kind of weather it was, he was hooked on a round of golf on his days off. One Saturday he left the house early and headed for the golf course, but it was so bitter cold that he decided he wouldn't golf that day and went back home. His wife was still in bed when he got there, so he took off his clothes and snuggled up to his wife's backside and said, "Terrible weather out there." She replied, "Yeah, and can you believe my stupid husband went golfing?" Update the mind map as follows. Joke 3: A husband and wife, out enjoying a round of golf, were about to tee off on the third hole, which was lined with beautiful homes. The wife hit her shot and the ball began to slice. Her shot was headed directly at a very large plate of glass window. Much to her surprise, the ball smashed through the window and shattered it into a million pieces. They felt compelled to see what damage was done and drove off to see what happened. When they peeked inside the house, they found no one there. The husband called out and no one answered. Upon further investigation, they saw a small gentleman sitting on the couch with a turban on his head. The wife asked the man, "Do you live here?" "No, someone just hit a ball through the window, knocked over the vase you see there, freeing me from that little bottle. I am so grateful," he answered. The wife asked, "Are you a genie?" "Oh, why, yes I am. In fact, I am so grateful I will grant you two wishes, and the third I will keep for myself," the man replied. The husband and wife agreed on two wishes. One was for a scratch handicap for the husband, to which the wife readily agreed. The other was for an income of $1,000,000 per year forever. The genie nodded his head and said, "Done." The genie now said, "For my wish, I would like to have my way with your wife. I have not been with a woman for many years, and after all, I made you a scratch golfer and a millionaire." The husband and wife agreed. After the genie and wife were finished, the genie asked the wife, "How long have you been married?" To which she responded, 3 years. The genie then asked, "How old is your husband?" To which she replied, 31 years old. The genie then asked, "And how long has he believed in this genie crap?" Update your mind map. Here we can identify the common keyword disloyalty. Joke 4: A guy was in a cave, looking for treasure. He found an old lamp, rubbed it, and a genie came out. The genie said, "I will grant you 3 wishes, but your ex-wife will get double." The man agreed, and said, "I wish I had a mansion." The genie granted it, and his ex-wife got 2 mansions. The man said, "I would like $1,000,000. The genie again granted it, and his ex-wife got $2,000,000. Then the man said, "Scare me half to death." Since this joke is again related to genie, we can add another child node to it. Small mind maps can be aggregated into bigger ones, and you can keep expanding a single node of a mind map to create new mind maps. In the above example, golf is just a frequently encountered trigger words for joke. Although it is the root of the above mind maps, it can still be the child node of many others. So as you can see, it's very easy to develop mind maps and use them as excellent ways to grow your humor catalog. A mind map is a perfect way of storing and retrieving funny materials because it resembles the human thinking process. Whenever a woman mentions a concept and you are in a mood to joke, you can keep on expanding related concepts to that keyword by going through the mind map in your mind and traverse them in both directions, going level up or down. How do you memorize this mind map then? Answer: use a technique that I call absurd imagery association. It works in this way: relate to things in the most ridiculous way and visualize it as a mental image. Add in as many colors and sounds to accentuate the absurdity of the image. Once you see it, it'll be very hard to forget. Take the above mind map for example. How can we memorize golf thumb genie? One way is to imagine a blue genie sticking out this gigantic thumb in the air, waving. And the thumb is actually made from thousands of golf balls, which are dazzlingly white. At the same time the genie is giggling, just imagine the sound of it. And jumping up and down. You may visualize a different image containing the same characters and objects. The point is that the more ridiculous and out of proportion your mental picture is, the more easily you can remember it and the longer you can retain that piece of memory. What works for me might not necessarily work for you. So always develop your own mind map. Write to make women laugh. Writing is a frequently overlooked way of making women laugh. If you think writing is a negligible aspect of humor, I urge you to think again. True, writing is not as personal, direct, and intense as face-to-face communication. It also carries a higher risk of misunderstanding, resulted from lack of visual cues. But written humor sure has many advantages over verbal humor. Firstly, it eliminates mistakes in delivery, since you won't put your faltering, nervousness, or awkward body language down on paper. Secondly, a woman reads your writing with her own inner voice, who can be better at building rapport with her than herself. Her interpretation of your words, after her own humor distortion, might be even funnier than your original meaning. Thirdly, it's convenient, direct, fast, and unintrusive. Otherwise, why are so many people spending so much time chatting online? By writing, I don't mean a formal letter or a beautifully handwritten essay on decorative paper. What kind of writing? In fact, the more casual your writing is, the better the effect. Don't send her anything involving obviously a lot of work, which shows your neediness. If later on you two fall madly in love with each other, it'll be a different story. Most of the time, a simple note on rough paper or email will do the trick. Points to note: here are a few most important points to note when you are writing to make her laugh. Use your imagination. Since you are free from physical or environmental constraints, you should be as creative as you can by applying as many humor techniques as possible, or else you're just wasting your chance. The beginning of the writing has to be really funny. It sets the tone of your writing and catches her attention, hopefully. Establish a promising connection with her. Your objective is to make her look forward to future interactions with you, so you need to write in an entertaining and somewhat teasing manner. Apply the surprising tactic profusely. Nowadays, people are constantly bombarded with so many messages each day that they're much less sensitive to usual materials. You have to catch a woman's attention by surprising her with humor as much as you can. Check your work. You don't have the privilege of verbal modification during speech. But now you do. Keep it short. A long letter shows your neediness, whereas a pithy and sweet piece will whip her appetite and make her want more. Generate materials for laughter. After you become better at making women laugh, you'll be more concerned with finding new sources to generate humor materials. The key is using your imagination. By imagination, I don't mean a one-time brainstorming session where your humor is tested against the woman you talk to. I'm referring to those so-called silly fantasies, a daily activity of asking yourself hypothetical questions on everything you see, hear, and feel. Look around yourself now. What do you see? Table, chair, lamp, book, or people? I want you to make up a funny story involving these objects. What would the chair say to the table beside it? Or what if your butt suddenly starts talking? Free your mind and make up a funny story. The story might be absurd the first few times you do this, but please don't curse yourself. If you perform this routine consistently, you'll soon find inspirations pouring in. My experience tells me that your learning curve will start to rise sharply within 1 to 2 weeks. Examine some popular humor columns. The majority of them are outright funny observations of current events or day-to-day activities that you and I often take for granted. Now it's time to start making a conscious effort in creating funny stories, images, conversations, etc. from the material that you see and hear on a daily basis. When you overhear other people talking on the bus, pretend you're one of them and try out some funny lines with yourself. You'll soon find it natural to respond to people with a good sense of humor, and you'll be surprised at your progress. Plus, it's a great way to kill boredom. Another simple way to train your humor muscle is to join completely unrelated concepts whenever you can. It'll be very entertaining, and you'll understand why TV shows like Whose Line Is It Anyway is so popular. It also proves that humor is often about association of diverse concepts. Again, imagination is the key here. For example, when you see milk, you may extend your thought to breast milk. What are the differences? Well, one difference is the ingredient. Now you can go one step further and ask, if mother's milk was actually hazardous to some babies, where should they place the warning label? Keep on taking these humor Rorschach tests and have fun. After you made her laugh, although this book is primarily about how to make women laugh, I'm pretty sure that is not your sole purpose. Most men are just looking for a way to go further. In this section, I'll give you some basics of following up your humor to establish a relationship. Cut the conversation, always end the conversation first. I'm sure you have heard the phrase, don't push your luck. After you've successfully made her laugh and given her a good time, end it immediately. Yes, you heard me right, cut the conversation. Teasing her in this way can dramatically increase your chance of winning her. It's counterintuitive and it works. You see, after you've entertained a woman with your powerful humor, her sensitivity to laughter is bound to drop. In other words, she'll get used to the fun, and the next thing you know will be the change in her perception about your humor. Many men simply don't know when to stop and thus letting good opportunities slip away in front of their eyes, without knowing it. On the other hand, if you can stop before she reaches the peak of fun, the sudden withdrawal of humor will make her want it more. She might even have all kinds of fantasies later on and start looking forward to meeting you again. At any rate, things will work in your favor. Think for yourself for a moment. If she knows you are talking to her as much as she wants it, and in the whole process you are going all out to please her, what would she be thinking? She doesn't need you any more than you need her. That's why you should lock the winning status by leaving her in a half-satisfied state. She would either think, why? Is there anything wrong with me? Especially if she's pretty and always gets her way, or, when can we talk again? What if she hasn't entered the state of needing you? First of all, you should know better than cutting the conversation prematurely. But if that happens, get on with it. It's been a great experience and you've had fun too, right? There are plenty more fish in the sea and you'll have plenty of gorgeous ladies waiting for you. Think like an alpha male. Remember what we talked about alpha male earlier? If you really like her, create other opportunities to bump into her again. That'll be your best bet, don't you agree? Establish connection. Don't be blinded by your immediate little success and let your ultimate goal slip your mind. Do you just want to make her laugh or do you want to get to know her better? At least you can ask for her number. You can simply say, "Hey, I gotta go. Nice meeting you. How can we talk further in your opinion?" And your opinion makes it sound less like a commitment. Just write down your number here and we'll meet again. If you prefer to set a date on the spot, say something like, "Gotta run. I'll be freer towards later this week. Friday, good day." Two interesting things here. First, you've made an assumption that she wants to go out with you. This works in line with women's unconscious desire to be validated by men. Second, you asked Friday, good day, and not can we meet on Friday, meaning you're not really asking her out so it won't matter to you if she says no. Keep on assuming a superior role and never for a single second show your neediness. It is a powerful mindset. If you successfully send a woman into laughter while at the same time taking on a dominating role, she will recognize the situation either consciously or subconsciously. She'll treat you differently as much as you deserve. Such mindset will not only make you appear more natural, which improves your body language, but also increase your chance of establishing a connection with her. Once you've got her contact information, remember to conduct a postmortem. Take a moment to think about what you have done right and what needs improvement next time. And always remember to use every successful experience to consciously boost your confidence level through positive autosuggestion. Follow up. Don't call her immediately. Wait for a while to increase her neediness. She would soon start to think again, "What's wrong with me? Doesn't he like me?" And once she starts to think in this way, she'll be on a steep slope to falling in love with you. Complementary qualities. Finally, let me point out that humor is one of the top reasons why women are attracted to you, but not the only deciding factor. Because this book is about how to be funny to make women fall in love with you, I've devoted most of it on the topic of humor. But you and I both know that humor is an essential quality of a desirable man, must be supported by other skills. Magic tricks. You may have seen girls laughing uncontrollably at magic tricks and how those skillful street magicians capture their attention and keep them laughing the whole time. Well, you can do that too. Learn some simple coin or banknote magic. It'll be weird if you carry a deck of cards around, but no one will consider it strange to keep some money with you. Many magic tricks are amazingly simple despite their stunning visual effects. There are plenty of magic books in bookstore offering solid content. You can find plenty of free magic tricks online as well. The problem is that learning magic through reading is a bit like learning swimming by watching. If you prefer more direct teaching and have money to spare, go to www.penguinmagic.com to download some video tutorials. Astrology, tarot, palm reading. Most women believe in fate. Don't ask me why. All I know is that they are absolutely fascinated by such stuff, and men who can tell fortunes. There are some particularly good online crash courses on astrology. You can practically finish them in an hour, excluding the memorization time. Art, musical instrument, painting, poetry, and culinary. The art of cooking are always desirable. You can't make women laugh by playing guitar, but you can surely impress them, and even more so if you can make them laugh too. Dealing with frustration, disappointment, let's face it. You'll still be disappointed at times. It takes time to be funny. Now here's the important thing. Don't talk negatively to yourself, and this applies to every area of your life. Have you ever had experience where you told yourself you were good at something and in turn grew better and better? It works the other way around too. If after some small failure, which is bound to happen, you tell yourself things like, "Forget it. I'm just not a funny guy," or "I'm not born with it," sure enough, you'll never become a funny guy. Rejection. The first way is to simply brush it off, like, "I have a boyfriend. Hey, we've just known each other for like 3 minutes and you already started to confide in me. What's this all about?" One effective way of handling rejection is the out of proportion technique. Visualize the people who were involved in your frustrating experience. Distort their appearances and as well as the surroundings. Play some funny mental music in the background. Imagine that everyone has turned into a clown dancing in the most foolish way. You'll immediately feel much better. General obstacles. Here I'm going to teach another technique many psychiatrists use to deal with negative or horrible experiences. It will surely work even if the out-of-proportion technique fails you. In fact, you can use this method to handle any frustration or obstacle. This method is based on something called submodalities. Most of us think, feel, and recall things in the form of mental pictures. Certain people, such as the blind, experience life in the form of mental sounds. And submodalities are the various internal attributes of the mental pictures we construct in our mind on a minute-to-minute basis. These pictures are extremely closely associated with our feelings. In fact, they are our internal representation of the world. By modifying the attributes of the negative internal representations, we can shift our feelings from frustration to motivation, fear to courage, sadness to happiness, and so on. Now read the following instructions carefully before closing your eyes and carrying them out. If you find it hard to do on your own with eyes closed, go and find a partner. 1. Recall the last time when you were discouraged by dating or attracting women. Go back to that very point in time and feel it too. Construct in your mind the exact situation where you felt discouraged. Take a good look at the picture you have in mind. 3. Notice whether you are looking at yourself or looking at things through your mind's eye. 4. Notice the size of the picture. Does the frame occupy only a small portion of the vision? How far is the picture away from you? 5. Notice the brightness of the picture. Were you in a dark room or were you reading by dim lamp by your desk? 6. Notice what posture you had, and your facial expressions. How about your breathing rate? 7. Are you hearing any sound? If not, what would you say to yourself in that situation? 8. For any of the question above, if you cannot remember, just imagine what you would do if you were placed in that frustrating mood once again. Probably you don't feel very good after the above process. I don't mean to let you suffer from this exercise. But here's an important point. Often we were discouraged only once, yet we intensified the unpleasant experience by constantly thinking about it. And sometimes we think about it to the extent that any related actions become scary and we stop performing them. Remember the last time when you needed to do your homework as a child? The homework itself wasn't that bad, but by repetitively telling yourself it's such a horrible chore, you were convinced by yourself that it's better to put it off. Now, read the following instruction again before following them one by one. 1. Repeat step 1 to step 8 of the above 2. Now imagine yourself manually altering the picture with the immense power of your mind. 3. Change the viewing angle of the picture. If you were inside your body, step out, vice versa. 4. Change the size of the picture. If it was small, blow it up. If it was too near, push it away until it shrinks to a point. 5. Change the lighting of the picture. If it was dark, fill in light, until it is dazzling, vice versa. 6. Change your own body. Sit up, breath in confidently, and have a motivating look on your face. 7. Say to yourself in the picture, "Come on, we can do it. Do it now. It'll be fun." Etc. 8. Open your eyes. Feeling much better now, right? Continue practicing this. Intensify the attributes of the picture in the second part, and experience the increase in your motivation level. Afterward, you probably have heard of the Pareto Principle, or the 80-20 rule. The Pareto Principle states that in almost anything in life, 80% of the consequences result from 20% of the causes. The principle was named after the Italian economist Vilfredo Pareto, who observed that 80% of property in Italy was owned by 20% of the Italian population. The implication of this principle is that the outcome is almost always determined by a small number of causes, which has been found to be true in many fields, such as sales. 20% of clients are responsible for 80% of sales volume. Although Pareto principle is empirical, It gives us a clue upon making decisions and helps us discern situations more wisely. It's the same with making women laugh and fall in love. 80% of your ability to attract women with humor is determined by your psychology and 20% by your techniques. See where I'm going? In order to excel at making women laugh, you need to have an extraordinary psychology and unshakable faith. It's rather unlikely that you'll turn into a totally funny guy as soon as you finish listening to this audiobook. What I hope to achieve with this audiobook is to create a momentum for you to acquire the power of making any woman laugh at any time, any place, in any way you'd like. I've held your hand this far and you need to carry on by yourself. Take action and practice what you've learned in this book. And keep on learning from your own experience, no one can help you with that. I will do everything in my power to give you the best advice I can offer and share my own experience with you, so don't hesitate to inquire about anything under the sun related to making women laugh. Just drop me a line at martin@makewomenlaugh.com. Keep your faith. Keep your humor.